Saul, who became known by his Roman name, Paul, was with the church in Antioch. The Holy Spirit chose Paul and another believer, Barnabas, for a special work. So they obeyed and left Antioch to do the work. God led Paul and Barnabas to tell the good news about Jesus to not only the Jews, but the Gentiles, or people who were not Jews. Paul and Barnabas traveled to Lystra, and Paul healed a man there who was lame. The man had never been able to walk. The people saw what Paul had done, and they thought Paul and Barnabas were gods. They began to worship them. But Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and shouted, "No, we are not gods. We are men just like you. We want to tell you the good news of God." Then some people showed up from Antioch and Iconium, cities where Paul and Barnabas had preached about Jesus. These people caused trouble, so that the people in Lystra turned against Paul and Barnabas too. They threw stones at Paul and dragged him out of the city. They thought he was dead, but the believers in Lystra gathered around Paul, and he got up. The next day, Paul and Barnabas went to the city of Derbe. They told people there about Jesus, and many people believed. Then they went back to Lystra and to Iconium. They encouraged the believers there to continue in the faith. They told the believers that they would face suffering because they believed in Jesus. Paul and Barnabas also chose leaders for the churches there. Finally, Paul and Barnabas returned to the church in Antioch. They reported everything God had done on their journey and how God had helped them share the good news with the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas faced many people who rejected the good news about Jesus, but God had a plan for Paul to share the gospel with Gentiles, no matter what troubles Paul faced. Many believed in Jesus. The church grew and the gospel was shared so that people all
I know you're enjoying it, but can we stop that?
Saved from their sin.
Thank you very much. Okay, that was the reading from the book of Acts. The book of Acts is going to be our focus in the month of August, where we're going to be focusing on Paul's missionary journey. But the thing is, sometimes it's very hard to understand the context of that, isn't it? What's going on there? So I'm going to very briefly explain the context of what's going on in the book of Acts. There can be no doubt in the New Testament, the primary purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit is to equip the disciples for mission. That is the heart of it. The primary reason why the Holy Spirit was given to his disciples was to make them missionaries. In other words, the Comforter did not come to make us comfortable. If you're looking for a comfortable life, don't read the book of Acts, because there is a lot of mess in there. There's a lot of conflict in there. There's a lot of turbulence in there. The Holy Spirit came to equip the disciples for mission. But here's the thing. When the kingdom of God advances in the book of Acts, you have lots of disagreements. You have conflict. Now, question for us. Why are we surprised by that? Why are we surprised when the kingdom of God advances, there is conflict? The book of Acts is a story of an unlikely bunch of people. God pours out the Holy Spirit on them, and they bring God's kingdom into the places that we just saw on the screen. In chapter 2, we read the book of Acts. It's a spontaneous sermon, and 3,000 people become followers of Jesus. In chapter 3, we see a beggar, instead of receiving some spare change, he gets new legs. Then you find the attempt to use religious spaces for proclamation of the gospel runs into danger. When the Spirit moves, people say, "You can't do that here." Have you heard that before? "You can't say that here." The modern versions are, "We've always done it that way." Or, we've tried that before, it didn't work. Have you heard that before? That's what's happening in the book of Acts as well. The Spirit moves, change happens, can't do that here. The unsayable goes on being said. Acts is basically a paradigm that is built on this. In Samaria, in the road to Gaza, in the front palace of Caesarea, in the riverside in Philippi, Mars Hill in Athens, prison cells in Ephesus, hired lodgings in the back streets of Rome, to the deck of a tossing boat. Everywhere the word comes alive and people become followers of Jesus. But here's the important thing. It's not easy sailing. That's right. There was persecution from the outside. There was disunity on the inside. There were false teachers. There were lawsuits. There were racial tensions. There were disagreement. There was conflict. Was ripe in the church. We are going to hear about one such disagreement after our prayer activity. Amanda.
So, you may have noticed on your seats there's a piece of paper. So, our prayer activity today is we are going to write our prayers on our pieces of paper. Then we are going to fold our pieces of paper into a paper boat. And then we are going to come and we are going to float our boats on some water. So the first thing I'm going to invite you to do is to actually write down, what is it, maybe in the light of talking about in and out, in the light of talking about the difficulties, maybe there's something you're struggling with that you want to ask God to help you with. Or maybe there's something you want to thank God for. We talked about how good God is to us this morning and how much we have to be thankful for. So maybe you just want to thank God for the good things that he's given you. Or that you need to ask him. Oh no, it's got a hole in it already. I didn't check these out, by the way. Maybe we won't use that one. I'll take that one back to Aldi. It's got a leak. So write down your prayers. If you don't have a pen, if you put your hand up and somebody from the welcome team will bring you a pen around, and then write down your prayers. And then on the screen, there should be a little guide to how to fold your paper into a paper boat. And if you struggle or you just don't want to fold it, then I have got some that are already made here. That's okay. That's okay. You can write down your prayer. And then I do have some ready-made boats here. And we used Mark Time because it already has prayer requests on it. So some of the ones from last week and the week before. So you can write down your prayer or you can just pray over your boat and then you can come and you can float your boat. Okay? Is everyone understanding? So first of all, you have to write your prayer on your piece of paper and then you fold your piece of paper. But you need to write your prayers on it first. So if you don't, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. I'm going to give you a boat.
Difficult.
I know. So you just think about what it is that you want to ask God for.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you just pray. Or if you want a ready-made boat to put your prayers in, come and see me. Oh, I've lost them. Somebody's taken all my boats. I have more than that. Thank you. You got one? Okay.
I'll fold you another one. Or you can write your prayers. That's right. Or you can write your prayers and I'll come and help you fold your boat. Pens? More pens? More pens? Poor.
They're not very good pens.
Pencils then.
Yeah, we could have a nice pot of them somewhere. Right. We got some.
Right, pens, 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 pens. Pen. Any more pens? It's a pencil.
Yeah, there's nothing on it.
Oh, isn't it? Sorry. Have that one then. More pens. You want a pen? Yeah. Fabulous. Do you want this pencil? That might be easier. Thank you. Right. Yes. Have you written on it?
No.
Have a pen. That looks more like a paper aeroplane than a And then once you've... Yeah, you start with the paper hat.
Yeah, I've made a hat.
Yeah, no. Right, start with your paper hat.
Yeah.
Then you pull it out and make it into a diamond.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like that.
Oh.
So start with your paper hat, fold it the other way into a diamond, fold up the sides. So then you sort of squidge it out a bit. And then pull those two bits, and it amazingly sort of makes a paper boat. Ta-da! Go and float your boat. Is that better? I need me tape, don't I? That's right, shall I show you? Have you written your prayer on? You haven't written your prayer on yet? All right, boat. Fold it in half. Like that. Then you go a diamond. Like that. So fold it in half, diamond. Fold that side up. So you make a paper hat first. Then you pull it that way. Make a diamond. So you pull it outwards to make a diamond, fold it that way, fold it that way. And then you sort of pull it out a bit, and then you do that, pull it out that way, flatten it out. Ta-da! And you have a boat. There you go. So write your prayers and then I'll come and help if you need me to. That's a paper hat. You haven't quite got as far as your boat
yet.
Yeah,
no, I'm getting there.
I do think you need to put a boat out and go and float it in my paddling pool. Either that or wear the hat. I think you should wear a hat, yeah. Are you good? You're done. Okay, is anyone struggling? So they need a bit of help. Would you like me to help you? All right, so what we got there? Have you written your prayers on it yet?
No.
Right, okay, I'm going to fold it that way because that one works better. It works better that way. You can do it the other way. But you get a very long, narrow boat. So we do that. And then we fold it in half that way. Turn the edges over, like that. Then we make it into a diamond, that way. We fold that one up there.
It's coming back to you.
Oh, I had to learn. I've never done this before. And then basically you just flip it out, and you flip it that way, and the sides come up. And you fold that one in for me. There you go. Fabulous. One boat. Would you like to float it, or would you like me to go and float it for you? It's all right. Hi. Sorry. Oh, we have a very, very, very crowded Mediterranean.
That's right. That is a lot
That's a lot of boats in there. Don't worry, just put your boat in. Ah.
Yes. Oh, lovely.
Oh, fabulous. Oh, that's an amazing boat. Daddy did an amazing boat. Oh, that's a very stylish one. So that way, that way.
This is a yacht.
Right, we are going. Right. Okay, guys. I think we need to come and float our boats and then we are going to move on. Yeah, we're a very... This looks more like St. Mary's Island Lock than it does the Mediterranean now. Okay. Oh, I've ripped it. Never mind. Squidge it up like that. There you go. Sorry, Joshua. Okay. Awesome. Okay. No worries. I shall do it. Right. Where are we going? One more. Fabulous. Pop it in there then. Fabulous. I shall pop yours in a minute. Right. Oh, lost my order of service. Okay. Right. I'm just going to say a final prayer over all our prayers. And then we are going to have our second Bible reading. So, Father, we thank you that you are a good God. And we thank you that you give us things like holidays and water and boats and all of this stuff that we can enjoy. And Father, I just pray for all of the prayers that are written here in our boats. Lord, we know that you hear what's on our heart. You know what's written. And we just pray, thank you for the thank you prayers. And we pray that you would answer those that are asking. In Jesus' name, amen. Second Bible reading.
Me again. We're reading from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41, as you can see on the screens, page 1110. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and Paul sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
I told you there was disagreement in the early church, and one of those disagreements is just that. Can I have my computer, please? That is the reason. Barnabas is a great encourager. He wanted to take John, also called Mark, but you need to know this, Mark is Barnabas' cousin. Okay? So he wanted to take his cousin with him, but Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and not continued with them in the work. And they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Question, why did Mark not go? Well, lots of reasons possibly. Was he discouraged? Was he afraid? Did he grow timid? Was he not happy with Paul's leadership? Did he seriously object to something that Paul was doing? Was he uncomfortable with the fact that Paul now was taking the gospel to the Gentiles, to non-Jews? Did he doubt his calling? The answer is, we simply don't know. But here's the important thing. Here's the important thing. We know two things. We know two things. And I want you to bear this because it's right at the heart of our passage, what we're learning today. First thing we know is this. Later in life, Paul developed a respect and love for Mark. How do we know that? Colossians chapter 4 says, my fellow prisoner Archippus sends you greetings, as does John Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, we are told. You have received instructions about him, and if he comes to you, welcome this guy. In fact, if you look at the book of Philemon, you will find again Paul writing, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark and others, my fellow workers. Do you see it? Both those texts were written years later. What happened? Reconciliation happened. Remember the sharp disagreement with Barnabas and his possible nephew? What happens is they were reconciled. Very important. Second thing we know about Mark. What do we know about Mark? We have St. Mark's Church you are sitting in. And that's because we have a gospel called... Did you know many, many scholars actually think Mark was the one who was close to Peter, and the information that Mark had about the Gospels came directly from Peter, who of course was one of Jesus' closest friends. In fact, Peter actually says in his book, writing to the church in exile, my beloved son, Mark. We have Mark's gospel because of Mark. Right at the heart of what I want to teach us today is this. Despite the disagreement, there was reconciliation. But God works all things for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. Amen? God works for good for those whom he has called according to his purposes. I believe for some of us that is a key thing for us to hear, because we are finding ourselves in a place where life is not smooth sailing. Here was this guy, Mark, who was meant to be out, finds his place in because of Jesus. Who is in this church? Who is out in this church? The reality is, a church that we want to nurture here is a church that everybody gets to pray and everybody gets to play. There is one point of application for us as a church, and I think it's a collective one. Listen carefully. This is for the whole church. It has to do with diversity and inclusion. This is quite an important conversation for us right now for a number of reasons. But I want you to turn to your neighbor or neighbors and ask the question, what is the difference between diversity and inclusion? What is the difference? Because they're not the same thing. They are not the same thing. Because you see, the corporate world says we are into diversity. You ain't got a choice in the matter, mate. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and ask the question, what is the difference between diversity and inclusion? You've got 3 minutes. Go for it. And then we'll have some feedback. 1 minute. And that's a 5 and a 4. Is it 3 after that? Is it 3, 2, and 1? Okay. I'm looking for hands. Who would like to have a go on this conversation of the difference between diversity and inclusion? Remember, we're thinking about who's in and who's out. That's the context. Okay? Go for it. Who'd like to go first? Okay? Rachel would like to go first. Okay, if this works, that'll be fantastic too.
We're all different, but we're all included.
Okay.
With all our differences.
Okay. We're included with the differences. Okay, anybody else want to top up on that? Okay, Addy. Addy.
It's the involvement of different people,
yeah,
and different ideas.
Okay. Involvement of different people, different ideas. Okay, we've got it here. Graham? Graham, I'm going to come around. Yeah, there you go.
Diversity is what we have, and inclusion is what we do.
Okay. Anyone agree with that? Diversity is what we have. Inclusion is what you do. Have is not a verb. Do is a verb, isn't it? It's do something. Yes, there's activity there. Okay. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, Janet.
In spite of the fact that we are all different and we have great diversity, that also means that we have to accept other people's differences if we want everybody to be included.
Okay, accept. Okay, that's great response. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, Martha. Gosh, I'm impressed with my knowledge of names, actually. So, Martha, difference between diversity and inclusion.
Well, it was interesting because at first I just thought, well, if we're diverse, then we're inclusive. But actually, when you think about it, diversity is just kind of what you see. But actually, the people who are all here don't necessarily feel included.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I mean, what Graham said about how it's a verb and how it's, we actually have to work at inclusion. And just because you see people who are diverse around you, you can't just assume that those people feel welcomed or included.
Yeah.
And we have to, those of us who feel in need, yeah, to work really hard.
That's right. So diversity is a mix. It's a mix of people. And this could, of course, include factors like age, gender, ethnicity, social backgrounds. It could include cultural backgrounds. It could include sexual orientation, education, attitudes, personalities, thinking styles, abilities. It's just a mix of people. That's diversity. Inclusion is making the mix work. It's creating a culture where people are valued and have a profound sense of belonging. Diversity is a given. Inclusion is a choice. Diversity is a given. You can't do anything about it. Inclusion is a choice. One of the key questions for us as a church, and what it means, is this. The key question is, what does it mean for us to be biblically inclusive? That's a key word. It's important because it is a biblical inclusion that we're talking about. This is about age. This is about social backgrounds. This is about gender. This is about ethnicity. This is about culture, about sexual orientation, about education, about mental health, about singleness, about rich, about poor, about disabilities. And what we're going to do as a church in these next few months is this. I've asked a bunch of people to work with me to do 3 things. I've asked Karen Dyer, Lance Hanning, Siju Adoye, Graham Davis, Vicky Allen, Amanda Maskell, David Wilkins, if is waiting on Europe if he doesn't go, Megan Brewer, and Chris Atkins. I'm asking a bunch of people to work with me for the next few months to do three things. The first is this: facilitate a time of deep listening in the life of our church. Similar to what I think we did about 2.5 years ago. Remember that? Mapping. Remember that? I told you we are going to lead this church that particular way. This is an important one. So can I invite us as a church to engage in some deep listening? And this team is going to facilitate a time of deep listening. And the question is this: what does it mean for us to be a church that is deeply, biblically inclusive? Second is, with the PCC, we're going to agree what we believe God is calling us to in terms of biblical inclusivity. Third thing I'm asking this team is to actually, with me, do some teaching in the life of the church around biblical inclusion. Why are we asking this? Because this is deeply, deeply missional. Deeply, deeply missional. Who has a place in the heart of God? Who has not got a place in the heart of God? At the heart of the Christian story is every one of us in this church today. Every person, the 18,500 people who live in our parish, has a place in the heart of God. We want to nurture a church where people can say, I want to meet this inclusive God that God is calling us to be as a community, to be a church that is making room for all who want to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God, make the door of this church wide enough to receive all who need human love and fellowship. Oh God, make the door of this church narrow enough to shut out envy and slander and gossip, hate and strife. Make the threshold of this church smooth enough to have no stumbling block, especially to those who are vulnerable and marginalized, to children and to straying feet. May it be rugged enough and strong enough to turn back the powers of the evil one. Oh God, make the door of this church of Saint Mark the gateway for many in this part of the world to your eternal life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.